So the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim tells us, matzah tzricha haseba, mara ain tzricha haseba. The matzah, when you eat the matzah on the night of Pesach, it requires reclining. And maror does not require reclining. Why? Because matzah represents cheres, freedom, and maror represents bitterness, slavery, and therefore a slave doesn't recline. And then the Gemara has a discussion regarding, before we get to Dawud Kosas, yeah, what? You want this? Before I get to Dawud Kosas. Before I get to that, what about if a person doesn't recline? Because it says matzah shricha seba. Let's say you don't recline. Let's assume you forgot. You didn't do it intentionally. So it seems to be, at least according to the Briska Rav, it seems to be a machlokes, the Rambam, and the Rush. The Rush is, but the Gemara seems to be clear by matzah that you have to recline over again. That if you don't recline, for the matzah, you're not yoke, because the Rush brings down that if a waiter is going to eat matzah, he has to make sure that he reclines. So therefore, the Rush, as we see from here, that you have to eat the matzah over again. And from the Rambam, it's not 100% clear. But the way the Briska Rav seems to learn that, perhaps we'll see in a second, whether you have to go back or not. What's the issue at hand between the Tosfos and the Rush? Tosfos, whether one has to go back or not. So the issue is, how do we view Haseba and Matzah? Is Haseba integral to the mitzvah of Matzah? Or no? It's not integral to, it's an independent mitzvah. So the Rambam seems, when the Rambam writes, the Rambam seems to not limit reclining to just the matzah or the Dalet Kol. He seems to say you should recline the whole meal. It's part of a regular din. It's din of the whole Seder. You have to act like royalty, you recline the whole meal. The Rush seems to go, no, it's specifically a din of matzah. So if you hold Haseba is integral to matzah, so therefore, you're not yoti the mitzvah matzah. It could be that's the way some learn the Gemara. That, what do you mean you're not yoti? What aren't you yoti? So according to the Rush, you're not yoti the mitzvah matzah. Perhaps according to the Rambam, if you take this interpretation, that no, matzah you yoti, but you're not yoti your mitzvah haseba. So therefore, let's say nafkamina. Let's say a person, there's certain times, let's say, if you're in front of your Rebbe, Muvok, so Gemara says it's not appropriate to recline in front of. I think today, I think everyone reclines. I don't know if people don't recline. I don't know. I haven't had a Seder in front of my Rebbe Muvok, so I don't know. But either way, let's assume it applies. So whoever it is, let's say there's certain people, if you're in front of, you're not supposed to recline. So let's say the case is you're eating with your family, you ate the matzah and you forgot to recline. Okay, so you're going to go back and eat another piece of matzah now, and you're about to eat the second piece of matzah, and your Rebbe walks in. So now what? So do you have to? So if it's a din in matzah, if according to the Rush, I'm not yotzei the mitzvah matzah. So what's the difference? I got to eat. Now I'm eating matzah, even though I'm not reclining, but that's not my mitzvah now. But according to the Rambam, if you're going to say the ikur is the aseba, so then there's no need to. You're not reclining anyway. It's similar to the machlokas you have between Rabbeinu Yehuda and the Rush, Rabbeinu Yehuda and the Rif, regarding you forgot to say Yalav Yavo, the last mincha before of Rosh Chodesh. So let's say Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos. Let's say mincha, you forgot Yalav Yavo. You daven mincha. So there's a whole discussion to now it's Mayrav. Daven, because the lacha is, if I daven mincha and left out yalav yavo, I have to repeat mincha. So that's if I remember right away. That's how you remember it's nighttime. So that's a dispute. Rabbeinu Yehuda says no, and the Rif says, what's the issue? Because Rabbeinu Yehuda writes, you already fulfilled your mitzvah of davening, you're just lacking the special mention. I'm not mentioning it anyway, so what's the point? And the Rif says you're lacking davening. So similarly, the Rosh seems to say you're lacking the mitzvah of matzah. If you eat matzah reclining, you have to go and eat another piece of matzah, even though you're not going to recline now. And according to the Rambam, perhaps in that scenario, where you're not lacking in matzah per se, the seba is, you know, it's just giving you more chashiva, so then perhaps there would be no reason to eat the matzah, because you already ate the matzah, you're just lacking in the seba. So that's the discussion over there. The bottom line is, halacha l'maisa, we assume that if one eats the matzah without reclining, you have to go back. And especially on the deraisa part, on the afikomen, on the achilas matzah. What about for the four cups of wine? So that's a whole discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara has a whole discussion on which cups do you recline. So they quote in the name of the same rabbi, you know, typical students. Some students quoted the rabbi as saying the first two cups you have to recline. And the other student said, no, he said the last two cups. So, you know, they both give reasons for what he said. You know, maybe they both fell asleep for the other half, whatever happened. So the Gemara concludes, since we don't know, IDVID by Haseba, we recline in all four. So the Gemara concludes that you recline in all four cups. So the question is, so is there a difference between the first two cups and the last two? So fundamentally, they sound the same. However, the poskim write, we make a compromise. So we on the first two cups, if you drank the first two cups without reclining, so you have to drink them over again. You drink another cup. But the last two cups, you don't. So why? What kind of compromise is this? Because since this is a discussion whether reclining is likuva is an obstacle in performing the mitzvah of Dawud Koso, so you definitely should do it, but whether it's an obstacle or not. So when it comes to the first two, we always take the risk-reward. You know, you're an actuary. Okay, you're not, but that's what actuaries do. They weigh the risk-rewards. You know, speak to the insurance. If you want to know if you're healthy, find out how big of a life insurance policy you're insuring. You know, because when I had my life, a couple of years ago, whenever it was, so that's what the guy told me as a joke, but he was like, probably true, that, you know, if your doctor says everything's okay, that doesn't mean anything, but if they're willing to put the money where the mouth is, that means, not that anything could happen tomorrow, but they definitely weighed the odds and they said you're a good, you know, the odds are with you, but, you know, you could still fall out. And also, another thing I learned from my insurance company, that if you're going to run someone over, make sure you go back and run them over again. Because it's much worse if the person's alive. I don't mean from insurance point of view, not from real life. Unfortunately, I know from my brother's case. My brother was in a terrible accident. It was a big accident on the railroad track. I guess it was the New Jersey Transit. What do you take to Newark or whatever it is? So he was going to work. He used to go. We had a friend, a chavrusa. They used to go to work, and I guess I don't know if they always did, but they were sitting in the front row. Maybe they always did. I guess my brother was here, and there was a big accident that was a Friday, I think, right? Because that was the time also I ripped my Achilles tendon. So I knew, like, I was like with crutches and all that. So what happened was, I guess his friend who was like sitting there, he just flew to the front, and then he must have broke his neck and died right away. And my brother, there was like a pole right in front, so he hit the pole. You know, he didn't, you know, at that point we didn't know if he was going to make, you know, but then what happened was, the Hashkacha story was that also, because Newark Hospital, first of all, it's not the best hospital, that's where they went. And also, like, there's so many people, you know, everyone's lying around, and it happened to be one of the doctors we went to, he usually, you know, he's a Shomer Shabbos. He was about to go home for Shabbos, and he started looking at the list, and he saw my brother's name, and he recognized the name from YU. So he went in, he took care of him. You know, he probably saved his life. You know, he went in, and they took him. You know, so he had he had different, like, he still has, I don't know if he goes off when he goes in an airport, but there's things in his head. And, you know, you couldn't tell now. You have no idea. He looks fine now, you know, in terms of, but then I guess, you know, he can't go back to work, you know, different head, you know, now you wouldn't, if you met him, you know, he's healthier than everyone else. Like, he works out and all that, but I'm saying, but yeah, so that's what happened. So he, so, you know, he came out alive at the end. You know, the other one, you know, I guess they go into how much you're worth alive versus dead. You know, every insurance, you know, it's a, like everything else, it's a business. So either way, getting back, so so they pointed out, so why the first two cups you have to go back on, or you go back on in the last two you don't? That's more of a compromise din, that because strictly speaking, you made Kiddush. So once you make Kiddush, you're allowed to eat at the Seder. Our minig is, we don't eat until we just have the karpas. We don't eat until we get a meal. But strictly speaking, you're allowed to eat. So therefore, let's say if you drank the wine and forgot to go back, so okay, so drink another cup then. Because so the first two cups, you're allowed to drink more. So therefore, go ahead and do it. But once you eat the afikomen, so the minig is, we say in the Haggadah, you know, we don't eat anything. We want to keep the tam matzah in our mouth, so we don't eat after the afikomen. So therefore, the third and fourth cup come after the afikomen. So therefore, the poskim say, if you didn't recline on the third or fourth, keep on going. So to summarize, matzah we go back, definitely on the deraisa part of the matzah, like on the two parts, on the achilas matzah and on the afikomen. And then regarding maror, you don't go back. You're not supposed to recline. The rest of the meal, it's, you know, there's a mitzvah to recline during the meal, but you know, you recline as much as you can. But there's nothing to go back on. And regarding the four cups of wine, so we consume the first two, you go back. The last two, you don't go back. Is more of a pragmatic halacha because of the issue of. You can't eat after home and before. Any questions?
Is there any concept of maror if you do lean that you have to eat it without leaning again?